Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started. Dr. Jessica Ray Prado and I met quite a while ago. It's probably been, when I introduce her, we'll talk about when we met. But in any event, she is an expert in industrial organizational psychology and emotional intelligence. And she holds a PhD in the field. She teaches at Loyola University, and she provides executive coaching and corporate training solutions. And she's got a portfolio of work from Fortune 100 companies. And she's also, catch this, a judge for the Miss America organization, which is really interesting. We're going to talk about that. And she is living with her husband and her two kids with... she's a bonus mom. We'll talk about that. In the Lake Wylie area, she's published books. This is such a unique, interesting, dynamic woman. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you.
So excited to have you. Now, when did you and I first meet? Because I remember I was in my old office and you came in and we did like a one-on-one session.
Yeah, it was in, I think it was in the winter of 2013 or 2014, maybe January of 2014, if memory serves.
Okay. Yes. And you came in and you were really focused on finding someone and you were like, okay, I'm going to go to the expert and we're going to talk and create a plan of action. And you walked away. Let's talk about it. Cause I know that you have a little bit of a memory of our session. I've done so many of these, but it's always kind of unique to the person that experiences it. Tell me what you got out of it.
So I learned really how to be myself and how important it was even on social media to be myself. So one of the pieces of advice you gave for me was to post some more silly pictures, to post some more, be it a story nowadays on like Instagram or Facebook or Meta, or post some stuff that makes me feel more relatable. So I've transitioned. I now share my aerial yoga stuff throughout all of my social media platforms. And I found that people really enjoy seeing this strange circus act that for me is a big gym. And I also get to share pictures of my family and my cats, because I've got two cats named Frank and Kevin as well. So it's less about being perfect and more about just showing up as whatever I am that day.
Yes, because Jessica, for those of you who aren't watching this on YouTube, is a stunning young woman. And sometimes, you know, people that are that beautiful, I don't know if this is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, but I feel like they're like, okay, if I need to like show up looking my best every single time, right, that I'm posted or I go out and about or whatever. And it's not the case. You can just look however you want. Sometimes you're dressy, sometimes you're casual and you're laid back, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And then we also talked about sort of getting out there and trying some new things.
Yes, we did. We talked about doing some new things, like maybe cooking classes or just meeting up with people that were also young professionals in the area. So I moved to Charlotte with a promotion with my former company. Yes. So I was just basically working all the time, which left me with almost zero time to make friends or to find a boyfriend or even something more like a deeper connection, like a long-term relationship, marriage.
Yes. Yes. So you tried some new things.
Yes, I did. I tried ballroom dancing and I did not make it to cooking because I've been a lifelong dancer. And I was just like, wow, this ballroom stuff is really difficult. You know, dancing backwards as a lady, I stepped on some toes. It was a learning. I'm still learning how to do it. Ballroom dancing, that is.
Right, right. And that is where you met your last husband?
Yes.
Okay. First husband?
First husband. First husband. Yeah, we met in the dance
floor. Right. So they fell in love on the dance floor. Yes. I love that. And that was, I actually attended your wedding party for that marriage. Didn't work out in the end. I know you
We had a
guys are still
small
friends.
wedding and then we did a reception. We're still friends. It didn't work out. We parted ways because I thought, before I got married, I was all about work and it was really important for me to just, climb the corporate ladder. And that was pretty much all I envisioned. I thought everything was kind of like bullet points and check marks. And then I reached a point where I thought, I want kids. And that wasn't a situation that we had discussed previously. And he didn't. So I had to respect that. And I won't do any spoilers, but I am remarried and I do have kids.
Well, that's not a spoiler.
So.
So you're what we call a bonus mom now. Like
Yeah.
people don't say stepmom anymore is my understanding, but either one is fine. And when you entered the family, how did your now husband sort of help integrate you, and how did that all go?
It was a slow process. So we had been together for over, I think it was definitely over 6 months. It was closer to about 10 or 11 months before I met him. And they were younger at the time. So they were, my oldest is a daughter, and she, I think, was about 10, had just turned 10. And my youngest was, I want to say 7. I think that's right. And I have the younger one is a son who. They're much older now, but he was 7 when we met.
And I know sometimes the hard part about integrating sort of a new mother figure into a family is, what do you do about discipline? How do you handle, if there is an ex-wife in the picture, how do you handle doing things at the school or both moms there? How does that all kind of roll out? How did you figure all that out?
I'm still figuring it out. So I'm not really sure there's a one size all solution, or even if in the moment there's the right thing to do. In general, I stay away from discipline. I'm just kind of like the friend and adult figure. I'll step into a leadership role if need be. Otherwise, the kids have their own pre-established dynamic. And then I made sure to tell both kids, and we can return back to this conversation as needed, but I'm not the mom. They have a mom. So I'm not really a replacement at all. I'm more of just a supplementary leader figure. And we've gone through some things where discipline could have happened. There was a time when the kids were playing on a yoga swing and the younger one, the son, wanted to have his chance and the older one said, no, I want it right now. And she was like, kick, kick. And she made like she was going to kick him. The kick happened. And then Wayne showed up downstairs and was like, what's going on? I was like, well, my son's over here feeling his feelings and he got denied. The request for swing was denied. So, guys safe, having a good time and not getting hurt. I'm pretty much just there to have fun and guide them. And as the kids have, we have reached more of a guidance phase nowadays that we've got a teenager and we're about to have another teenager in September when my son turns 13. So that's more of a hands off. They're chilling with their friends and it was fun to be able to be in their lives before the puberty process started and watch them grow into the young adults that they are today.
Yeah, that's great. And I do want to circle back to one thing. You had said with your first husband that you didn't really have those conversations around having kids. Because sometimes people aren't thinking that they want to have kids, or they just hadn't done a lot of deep thinking, and they just figure that that other person is on the same page as them, no matter which sort of direction they decide, which is not always the case. And it can be absolutely heartbreaking. The other thing that sometimes people do make the mistake of doing, especially women, is they get the man says, no, I don't want to have kids. Maybe he's had kids already from a previous relationship. He doesn't want to have more. And the woman thinks, if he loves me enough, he will do it. He'll do anything I say. And that is
It's
not
hard to personalize a story like that.
right.
Yeah, that can really hurt the narrative, of just the individual who's receiving it or just the relationship together. It can really can hurt.
Yeah, I will say when men say they don't want to have kids, they don't want to have kids.
Got to
That
trust them. They
is
know themselves.
face value. And it's also important. Sometimes I'll hear, when women are online dating or just, organically dating, however, out in the wild, they're afraid to bring up the idea to their love interest that they would like to have kids because they think it's too soon in the relationship. But I'm all for, Buzz it in there on the first date. It doesn't matter if he says, no, I'm not interested. You will not waste any time on a second date or any other dates in the future. So it's okay to float something by. I mean, especially if you are older or you're trying to decide if you should freeze your eggs or any of the things, like get it out there, make it happen, make your decisions and move on.
Yeah, and my husband and I had that on our first date. It was the first conversation. And he asked if I wanted any kids. I said, yes, I'd like to. He goes, perfect, I've got two. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute. How did that just go in so seamlessly? Like, maybe I should say something else. So I said, well, that's fine, but I want some of my own. And little did I know, these kids that he had created with his first wife were just going to be two halves of my heart that I'm just,
Oh.
it's an honor to see their journey as a grown up, just watching them experience things for the first time.
Yeah. I love that. I've got chills. That just made me so happy to hear that for you. You're such a lovely person, and it's just so nice to have seen you kind of walk on your journey. Yeah, and you're so happy now. You are really such a bright person. Tell me more about the emotional intelligence at work study that you're doing.
Okay, so this is the title of my dissertation that I did for Adler University, class of 22. So it's been almost 2 years now since I delivered the graduation speech at the Chicago Theater in Chicago, Illinois.
Yes.
And what I found out was the dissertation process itself is like a really long book report. You've got a dissertation committee that really goes through to make sure everything is pure on a scientific level. But what you're left with is just the essential oil. You need a carrier oil to really diffuse and really understand what's going on behind emotional intelligence. So the book itself is about this big, or if for people that can't see the video, they're just listening, it's about a quarter of an inch thick,
Okay.
which is great for people who understand white papers and who read scholarly journal articles or want something more from emotional intelligence. Maybe
Okay.
they're just field looking for something to add to the paper. Emotional intelligence at work is definitely one of those things. But for the average person looking to grow either personally or professionally or both, as we know, work life kind of carries over into itself like a Venn diagram.
Yes.
The Accessible Emotional Intelligence book series and my forthcoming textbook on emotional intelligence really help to break down that essential oil into tangible outcomes. So for the series, we have anecdotes, stories of people who have gone through life events, and they're using emotional intelligence as their guide throughout the emotional waves and tides that occur in everyday life. And then the textbook talks about how somebody can learn something and will call out places to look here for, self-management, others management. And there's really three aspects of emotional intelligence: self-awareness, which is knowing oneself.
Okay.
Social awareness, which is understanding the environment of what's going on in a room or in a group, workplace. And then you've got emotional regulation, which is the main tool someone will use when looking at the environment around them.
Okay. So give us a tangible example of this, of how somebody could use the work that you're doing to enhance their emotional intelligence.
Okay. Let's see. So the first thing is active listening. So I'll kind of practice with you. So let's say somebody's at work and they're dealing with a difficult situation, like a manager. They might want to look at something like a performance review and use that conversation so that they can talk about what happened and how to move forward. The first thing they would do is acknowledge their own emotions. Maybe they feel fear of rejection. Maybe they feel excited because they're really pumped up about their results and they really believe they're going to get that promotion, just like National Lampoon's Vacation when he's waiting for that big Christmas bonus to get the pool he wanted. Managing one's own emotions says to allow the emotions to exist and know that they're part of the room. So whatever the emotion is, be it positive, negative, something in between, there's that soul soup that we carry within us. It's like, maybe there's some vegetables, maybe there's some stew. What's in there? The aspect of mindfulness provides us the ability to look within and see what we're coming to the table with. For today, it might be, let's say, fear of judgment.
Right.
And then looking to the boss into the conversation, how are they coming across? Is there apprehension that can be sensed? Is it more of a one-way conversation, like the employee needs to listen rather than interact? And then managing one's emotions to wait for the perfect time to say, hey, I might have fallen short on these couple of aspects. What can I do to improve my chances that next year or 6 months from now, we won't be in the same place? Or opposingly, if it seems like, everything's going great, you've got a manager who's really excited about the progress as well, saying, let's look forward to the next steps. Is it possible for me to get a raise this year? Or what can I do in my career progression that you think would be best for me at this point? Using your boss kind of like a coach rather than just hierarchical figure that's really hard to reach, like a figurehead. So emotional intelligence in a conversation is super hard to delineate. It's super hard to really figure out, am I in the situation that requires emotional intelligence? And that's where the test comes in. So the E
So,
factor is a time test where people will actually get real-time practice
okay.
on how to use the skill that I've talked about just in this small anecdote.
If we're using love as an example, as opposed to work or boss as an example, let's pivot to that. So somebody meets somebody and or they're in a relationship and they feel like they're not being heard. And they feel like their partner, so usually women are like a little bit more intuitive, a little bit deeper in terms of conversation and the way they think about things. No offense, men. You know what I'm talking about though. Like I think we ruminate just a lot more on things. Men are just a little bit easier going. This is so basic what I'm saying. And I know that there's a lot of examples of not, but just like generalities, let's say. So a woman is in a relationship and she's overthinking everything and she's feeling very uncomfortable. She's seeing her boyfriend or her husband liking women on Instagram, staying out late after work and going and grabbing a beer. They're, having a hard time understanding why the woman is feeling uncomfortable about the way that they're behaving. How would your work help somebody learn to be able to look at a situation and understand a little bit better about how to behave so that they can connect more with their partner?
I think that's excellent. And I'm going to, if it's okay with you, ask my husband Wayne to come in to see if he can give an example of how I might have used
Awesome.
intelligence
Let's
or
bring him
not.
in.
I mean, failure is just one way, but do you feel comfortable, Wayne, coming on?
Oh yeah, no
Did you
problem.
get the
All right,
principle?
we get to meet the husband. Hey Wayne, good to
Hey, how
meet
you doing?
you. Hi.
I've
So
got
you guys have
vacation.
been y'all have been working on this together?
Yes.
But yeah. Mainly because as she became a PhD, our conversation started getting deeper and deeper into the spot.
Yeah.
And about the time that she graduated and she started talking a lot more about it and about the book she was going to write, it's when ChatGPT came out with the AI approach. So I was
Yeah.
like, I'll use AI and learn all about it. And so that I spent a lot of time on AI, basically getting ChatGPT to tell me all about emotional intelligence so we could have good conversations.
How do you feel we've used that resolution or just talking about the
Well, first of all, I'm not really a social media kind of person, so none of those examples work for me. Like, I don't go on Instagram like any other females or anything like that. I actually don't even go on at all, hardly. But as far as us discussing things and working through issues, I think it's mainly she can tell when I need to eat before we talk, and that's probably a big one for guys in general. Like, if you're hungry, you can't have a conversation. So relatively simple in our approaches. I think I can speak for most of the men out there. And the other thing is, if it's a contentious issue and it's something that may cause an issue, she'll normally bring it up as I would like to talk about this sometime later whenever you're ready. So
Nice.
it's catching me when I may not be expecting it or may not be prepared for it. And then I'm also, she learned very early, one of those people that processes things overnight. I don't know, just some people would have to sleep on something. So she'll
Yes.
bring it up to me like sometimes days in advance. She'll say, "Hey, when you're ready, I'd like to talk about this." And I'll be like, "Okay." And so then it's kind of going on in the back of my mind. So then when we finally sit down and talk about it, the normally what we'll do is we'll like go to a different place in the house than we normally sit. So that's another way I like pick up on all these cues. I don't think she even realizes how many of them I pick up on. She like uses this stuff all the time. But we'll go outside and sit on the outdoor furniture on our screen porch. And so we'll have a talk out there or just a different setting, like on the steps or something. And then she'll bring up what it was that was an issue. And then she'll ask me what I thought about it. And basically she just listens to me for a while. And normally, and I'm probably most men are this way because we don't, as you called it earlier, ruminate about stuff.
Yeah.
I think we just think about something. And then the first thing that comes to mind, we say. So instead of that, I usually just start talking. And then after I've talked for a few sentences, the real kind of thoughts will come out. So she can, I think she disregards the first like few sentences so that we can get to the real meat of it. And then she kind of will guide the conversation. So I will give you a funny anecdote one time. And this is what caused me to start using ChatGPT.
Okay.
We had a conversation for about, I would say, it was over 15 minutes. It was quite a while because part of her dissertation, she used what's called a facial action coding.
Okay.
Dr. Paul Ekman, I think, out of the UK. It's basically what that show.
In the US. Have you heard of the movie Inside Out? Inside Out is releasing this Friday. So Dr. Ekman, he's actually based in California.
Okay,
it's
gotcha.
Okay. We talk with a lot of
people in the UK.
Yeah, we talk with a lot of people.
That are his proteges and things like that.
But he was a consultant for emotional intelligence, not emotional. Well, he was a consultant for the E Factor, the emotional intelligence test, but he also has worked with Inside Out folks and the Inside Out 2 folks.
Yeah.
And FACS, or the facial action coding system, is the universality of emotions. So Dr. Ekman really is, he's not doing too much work in the colleges now. He works with His Holiness the Dalai Lama to create more understanding around warm-heartedness or compassion. Yeah. And so
well,
you were saying
but,
Dr.
Yeah, my,
Ekman.
My story was going toward, he also did the show Lie to Me that was on about 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Roth was based on Paul Ekman.
Yeah,
anyway,
all the micro expressions and the way that you can read somebody's face to know what they're really thinking versus what
exactly.
They're
saying. Exactly. Yeah. So she's a human lie detector. So there's no, I don't lie anyway. So good thing, because she could tell. But we had a conversation sometime early in 23 where I didn't say anything for like 15 minutes. She would ask me a question and then she would answer what my face told her. And I just sat there to see how long it would go on. And I was basically like, don't ever do that again. Please let me say words in a conversation because it's just not fair. So we, stuff like that, we just have fun with it. But I think in general, our relationship grows in a different way than it normally would have, mainly because we're more thoughtful about the responses that we have. And also she can tell when I've just either had a bad day or I don't really mean what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get out of talking about something right then. She's like, okay, you're not ready right now. We'll talk about it later. And then she'll move on. So in that way, she guides the relationship more than I do.
That is fascinating because I think a lot of times women will get upset when their man does not respond right away to something that they're asking. And sometimes guys just need to take a break, go to their man cave, like separate out the workday from the evening time, and or just like kind of do a brain dump. Maybe they're playing video games. Maybe they are on, you know, doing something just to get their mind, listening to music, getting their minds getting out of their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
And a woman's like, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. And they're like, I don't want to talk right now. And sometimes they don't have the words to just say, you know, I need to decompress.
Yeah. Or it comes across incorrectly.
Everybody's got a baseline.
Yes.
You know, like, so a woman in her emotions, you know, it's difficult to get to that mindful space. The Calm app has some great stuff. There's also other meditations like Insight Timer, which is free. And you should get to your calm space. That's number one. So that's why I say it always comes back to self-awareness. And then, I mean, admittedly, we're humans. So I've definitely made the mistake of not being mindful and just like, you know, throwing something on Wayne that it's just like raw emotion. Haven't processed it yet, but I just want him to hear it. So here it is. And he's just like, you know, what is this? And, you know, and I think he's also had moments where I probably didn't ask every single time, hey, think about this. Cause I'm not a perfect person.
Yeah.
And definitely make mistakes. So I don't want it to come across as we've got this perfect relationship. Like, you know, we both have places where we don't come with self-awareness. We haven't fully processed and it's kind of hairy. It's kind of like, what's going on here?
Yeah. we figured out pretty quick because we're not normally that way. And then she led by example enough that when it happens on her side and she doesn't happen to bring the calmness and all that, most of the time I can be the one that's the calming factor. But it's probably like, I would say 10 to 1. Like she does it 10 times, I do it once, but that makes a big difference.
I have a question since you hopped on. When Wayne, when you first met Jessica, was it like love at first sight? Were you like, there she is, she's walked into my life and I'm not going to let her get away? Or did it take you a little while? How was the original? And then I'll ask Jessica.
Okay. So can I tell the first time, like how we met and all that kind of stuff? So the first time we met, so she was going through her separation, and in order to go through her separation, she got what I call a Joe job, which was working at FedEx Kinko's.
Okay.
So I was going through my separation, and part of my separation was selling the house. And so I was in a different city because I had taken a job opportunity in a different city. So I was driving back and forth a lot to see the kids, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, this particular purpose, I went into FedEx Kinko's and I was working a job that I had to work really late hours. So I went in late one time and she helped me. And then she like got me to fill out a survey and everything, cause that was like her thing that she did to like, I don't know, that was just her thing. And there were a bunch of people in the store. So I remember walking out of the store thinking, wow, that's like the best customer service I've ever gotten. And so then I'm a finance guy and my undergrad's mechanical engineering. I'm a very conscientious person, so I never miss forms. But for some reason, in that instance, the universe had me skip an entire page. So I got a note back the next day from the attorney saying, hey, you didn't fill out page whatever. You got to do it again and send it again. So I think the first time was on a Tuesday night. And then the next time I went in, it was probably like 8 o'clock or something on a Thursday night. And there was nobody else in the store. So we just started talking. And of course she's wearing like a FedEx uniform. And, you know, I thought she was attractive, but you know, I didn't really think much of it. Yeah. But we ended up talking for about 45 minutes and I hadn't dated in like 20 years. So I was like, I don't even know how to do this, but would it be weird if I asked you for your phone number? She's like, no, not at all. And so she wrote her phone number down and gave it to me. And then my part of the story was, now, how do you do it now? Do you like play a game and wait a couple days? You do this? And I was like, nah, I'm too.
Okay.
So you know, I got home and I texted her, hey, how about coffee on Saturday? And so ultimately she showed up and we had coffee and you know how she looked. So she's extremely beautiful, but she really dressed down for it. Like today she doesn't have makeup on at all and you can't even tell. But so she really dressed down for it, like jeans, like fully everything.
I mean,
turtleneck. It was like,
you gotta wrap up and you know, cold. You got a jacket, you got a scarf, you got things to wear.
So we had awesome conversation. Our first date turned into from a 9 a.m. coffee date into an 18-hour day where we just spent all day together. We ended up having all the meals together. Ended up at a wine bar. We just had a great time together talking and really enjoyed it. We went on several dates and of course I was trying to impress her, so I was using like points to go fly places and things like that. And so I'm the one that fell in love first, I think, but she says that she was about to say it, but I said it first and then it was awkward. So then she didn't say it. So maybe that's my story.
You waited a little while to say it back.
You waited like 2 weeks.
You're gonna wait for like the right.
But I can't remember what you said. I don't think you said thank you. You didn't. I don't know what she said, but it felt right. It was over hot chocolate for some reason.
That's adorable. Well, you all are such a cute couple. And I'm so glad that you have these tools that you've brought into the marriage, Jessica, that enable you to have good communication, pause, not react with too much raw emotion. And you basically have a blueprint for a successful relationship.
Thank you.
I think it's pretty brilliant. Yeah. I know that you've got a quiz. Is that something that people can access? Is that something that we can put in the show notes?
Yeah, so everything is available with pradoic.info, pradoic.info.
Okay.
It's there, so you can access things like the YouTube recordings where I've shared out some of the accessible emotional intelligence series.
Okay.
You'll see aerial yoga, and you can also access my website and all ways to buy the books as well.
Okay, that's great. And then before we wrap up, I do want to talk about the Miss America pageant.
You want me to step out?
Yeah, I was just motioning.
I'll let you step out. Bye, Wayne. Glad to have you. Okay, so just backstory on Miss America. This I grew up, you know, in Philly and going to the Jersey Shore every summer. And they used to have the floats at the end of the summer before the big pageant, where the beautiful girls, women would be on their floats and they would be waving to the people on the boardwalk. And it was a big thing. And my dad always bought the book and we would go through the pages, the beautiful glossy pages of the women. And we would sit there and we would have our own little, like, let's vote on who we think is going to win the contest. And it was the pageant and it was so much fun. And I didn't think this is demeaning towards women or any of the things that I think has sort of, there's been backlash about it. But I still have a very sort of a pure idea of the Miss America pageant. I know a lot goes towards scholarships and there's a lot of good things that come out of Miss America. So tell me kind of what you do for Miss America.
Okay. So the way I got started in it was my first husband, Tony Prado, is an MC. And he said, well, it might be a good idea for you to try out to be a judge. And I thought, I don't know, but the date came for the annual judges seminar, which is how someone gets started in judging for the Miss America competition. The date only happens once a year. So I was kind of on the fence about it, but I thought, well, no matter my decision later, I'm going to go ahead and get certified now. So it was 2017 when I judged my first competition and have been with the organization since I was in my younger years. I think I was 15 when I did my first Miss Teen competition back in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's been really just about judging different ladies around the county. It's teen competition as well as the women's division. They have brought back the swimsuit competition. In previous years, they removed it. And they've also brought back talent. So it's something
that's the fun part is the talent. And of course the bathing suits, come on, it's fun. The talent, how can they cut talent out of a pageant?
Well, thankfully it was only a short period of time.
Okay, good. Cause I mean, that's what people should be judging people on, talent.
And they do have a need for more judges. So Lori,
I know she keeps wanting, she wants to be me to be a judge. Okay. So anyone that's authentically listening to this, I want you to shoot me a DM and tell me if you think I should be a judge for the Miss America pageant.
Yes. My vote's yes. It's so much fun.
It's a
good and basically the judges assist with, of course, interviewing the candidates, which takes place prior to the evening pageants.
Okay.
And then the pageant itself, you'll be able to view on stage question, evening gown, and also the talent portion, which is so much fun from the front row. I think the only thing to remember is we can't clap for the contestants. In general, the judges can only clap when the head judge claps or it's something like, and I would say the default is you kind of look to your left or to your right, whatever your head judge is. And if they're clapping, you can clap.
Okay.
Because the judge helps everyone keep out of trouble because we don't want any favorites being shown because there are a lot of pageant moms out there that are ready to get their young ladies up to the state competition and then on to the America stage.
Yeah, it's just fun. You know, it's something different than the regular thing. And I think that as long as people go into it with just an open mind and an open heart and just, you know, they don't put all their eggs in one basket as a way to, you know, progress. But you do learn a lot about poise, about manners, about speaking to people, obviously the talent portion, how to take care of yourself, all the different things. So really interesting. All right. Well, we do need to wrap up. It's been amazing having you and Wayne, surprise guest, on the show. So this has been awesome. I'm going to put in the show notes how people can purchase your emotional intelligence collateral and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you so much for your friendship over the years. And I've really enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.